pleased to sit as we close our anniversary service and our time this morning. We've had a look back with thankfulness in some of those prayers. We've had a think about our present finances and a kind of target ahead of us of another 15 over the next couple of years. I was amazed last year. We had an £11,000 increase of giving last year from this tiny little church here. And that's just wonderful just to see God provide in that way. And Edward's given us our figures. We are closing the gap, which is great, but it is a large gap. We've heard from Mark that the most important thing, of course, is having a heart relationship with God. It's not our duties or what we do, but it's about being forgiven, being loved by Jesus, and living in response. But I want to encourage you to join with us in taking hold of our vision as a church to be good news to our community. And that is by helping to resource our vision. And we do so in the knowledge that our giving isn't about performance. It isn't about proving anything to God or anyone else. It isn't even part of our religion. So what then is it about? Well, if we could turn back to that second reading from Paul's got some great things to say, just to encourage us in our giving today. Three things which I think are good for us. It's page 1162. And the first thing is that giving is a grace. So look at that verse 1. My brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches, which enable them to give. In verse 6, to bring to completion this act of grace on your part. And in verse 7, see to it that you also excel in this grace of giving. Our whole life is about grace. We're only here because of verse 9, aren't we? You know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, so that through you his poverty might become rich. In Christ, in the cross of Christ, we are rich. We're rich relationally and emotionally and spiritually and sometimes even physically. So our giving today is in response to what God has already given us. Not like Bart Simpson. In his grace at mealtime, he prayed, "Dear God, we've paid for all this ourselves, so we thank you for nothing." No, it's in response to God who's given us so much. And so what we're doing here this month is not a collection, but an offering. A collection, you pass the bucket around and you hope to scrape together a couple of pennies before lunch. But that's not what this is. It's an offering in response to the goodness and kindness of God in our lives. And it's hard to give a figure to that, of course, isn't it? We produce figures because we don't want you to think that we don't care about these things deeply. But we do. We give figures, but we can't give figures as to what each person should give. We can only give figures as to what we need. In the Old Testament, they had what was called a tithe. You give 10% of everything that you had. But then grace came along in Jesus, who for our sake became poor so that we might become rich. And it's very hard to put a figure on that, isn't it? 10% seems so arbitrary in the light of Jesus, who gave everything. God loves a cheerful giver. We put that on our giving form. And what we ask is for you just to do that. As you fill out the forms and put them in the collection box today or next week or this month, cheerful giving, because the whole of our life is a result of grace. There are a couple of just myths I want to knock down. One is that it doesn't matter about our deficit because it's all right, all saints will pay for it for us. Well, as you saw, no, that's not possible. They don't have a surplus either. What then about our reserves? This big pot of money that is for a rainy day. Well, this is the rainy day, and we're eating into that pot. Our reserves now are here. You are our reserves. And what then about our legacy pot? Well, we want to commit that to our projects, don't we, to Emma and the outreach we're doing there, and to our buildings, which we'd love to refresh. And we pray for this mission fund grant that it might come through. But what's left? Well, it's us, isn't it? And if God were to withdraw his blessing, then, well, you could stop our vision right today by stopping to give. We're utterly reliant on this. And the other myth is that since the gap is so great, and since what I offer is so small, my contribution, well, it would make so little difference. So if I'm going to give, I'm going to give to something else, where I know that I can make a difference. But that's not true either. Every contribution counts, because giving is grace. None of us knows what's around the corner. It's all a thing of grace. So giving is grace. Secondly, giving is countercultural. Well, to a degree, that's not quite true. Caitlin Moran in the Times magazine wrote about giving to charity. This is what she said about giving to charity. Giving money to charity is one of my favourite things. Wow. That money is now supercharged with goodness and power. In my account, it would just get spaffed on things like pasta and contact lenses. But now it's in the place where righteous people will do good with it. My pound coins are used as bullets in the war against global awfulness. Right on. I don't know if you heard that during the floods in Pakistan, amongst the UK were the highest number of individual donors. And in the US, Bill and Linda Gates have their giving pledge, and they're trying to find 40 billionaires to give away half of their money. So there is giving going on. But what's so extraordinary about these Christians that Paul was talking about in Macedonia is they are not rich. They're not giving out of wealth, but out of poverty. Verse 2, out of severe trial and extreme poverty, welled up with generosity. Verse 3, they gave as they were able, even beyond their ability. How were they able to do that? Well, there's not one of us here today who feels flushed with money. We've got VAT increases, we've got groceries, utility bills going up, mortgage to pay, maybe loans to settle. We've got dependent relatives. Everything screams out at us not to give. And if we treated today like a logical exercise, we'd hardly end up giving anything at all. And Paul makes loads of really sensible things about giving in chapters 8 and 9. No one should feel under any compulsion to give. You're to give in proportion to your income, willingly, regularly, in a planned kind of way. Sensible, down-to-earth advice. And yet he says also this, giving beyond ability. In other words, don't be too sensible. If we were sensible, well, we probably wouldn't be coming to this church. We'd be going to some big, thriving place, something more impressive. But we're not, we're here. Because we're serving God here. That's why our giving needs to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Lord, what do you want me to give? And it's a process that I go through every year with my giving. Barring two individuals that I support, I give 100% of my money to the Ascension because I'm committed to the mission here, to the work here. I want to see this work. This is where my passion is. And Jesus said something about where you put your treasure, there your heart is. Also, and that's what I experience when I support the work here. And what I figure is that there are loads of charities out there who are supported by loads of people. But who on earth is going to give to the Ascension, apart from those people who care about the Ascension, which is us? And so when Giving Sunday comes around every year, it's a time for me just to take a look again and remind myself what I am giving and to work out what's sensible and then what the beyond my ability might look like, and just tweak it up a little notch. And it's been amazing since I started giving when I was 16. I can't remember a year when I've had to put it down a notch. Now that won't be true for everyone. But God is good. He enables us to give more than we think, even my little widow's mite. So giving is a grace. Giving is countercultural. We don't give out of our riches, but we give out of our poverty. And giving is a privilege. Look at verse 4. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Money can be used to make things happen. Jesus said in one of his parables, put this money to work. And that's what we're doing today, isn't it? It's in my pocket at the moment, but it can be put to work in the kingdom of God. And create Christian activity here that will become good news to our community. Let me skip to the end. Really, what we're doing here is just a small start. Fellowship lunches is a small start. A meal for the elderly. We open up the Malcolm Young Room, and what we're going to do next is to widen the number of people that we can invite along. What's next? I don't know. But our community needs transforming, one person at a time, through the love of Jesus. And to resource that, we need to resource our kitchen. We need a fridge, we need a decent oven. But these aren't just fridges and ovens, they are tools that are used for Jesus. This is where your money will go. At youth ministry, I'll let Emma speak about that, and if she wants to, in a couple of weeks' time. But she's looking to starting a group for 11s to 13s, kind of the age of kids who've dropped out of the top of Holiday Club last year and the year before. A group that Isabella will be able to fit into. A group of teenagers who live locally, investing in this generation. That's what your money is making happen. Ascension Arts, we are in the brochure this year for the Open Houses magazine. We've got 8 headline artists signed up. We've got 8 local artists who we're just about to talk to and get on board as well. And we've got a provocative artist and poet called Curtis Tappenden, who's going to make people think without preaching at them at our event in that week. It'll be a great event, resourced by your giving. And we've got a strategy meeting coming up this week to kind of join up our thinking and our activities and to look at what we're not yet doing that we need to be doing to do more in our community. And there's nothing like an empty building which is closed during the week to say, God is dead. But we don't want to say that in West Dean. We want to say God is alive by using our buildings. So that's why you've all got one of those packs that Sir Edward's been waving around. I'd encourage you to write something on it. Put it in the collection box today or next week, even if it's an IOU or I hope I can give more in the future. Even if you start with £1 in your standing order, I urge you to put something in. It's a way of saying, I'm in this, we're in this together. We are stakeholders and we want to see things happen. But verse 7, just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Paul is saying, what kind of church do you want to be? What are you planning to excel at in your church? And we say, well, we want a growing church. We want a church full of faith. We want a passionate church. We want to encourage people and build them up and set them free. And Paul says, it sounds to me that what you're saying is that you want to be a church that excels in giving. Because giving is grace. It strikes a blow at the culture, which is based on circumstances, but we base it on faith. And it's an urgent privilege to be involved in what God is doing in this place.